Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk with cardiologist Dr. Roger White. Dr. White will share with us an important health improvement program that can help you achieve optimal health. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's an interesting study that shows that fiber decreases colorectal cancer risk. Fiber decreases the risk of colorectal cancer, according to a recent study published in the British Medical Journal. This study was part of the World Cancer Research Fund's Continuous Update Report, which in 2011 upgraded fiber's protective effects from probable to convincing. Researchers found for every 10 grams of total fiber or fiber cereal intake, colorectal cancer risk fell 10%. In addition, those consuming 3 servings of whole grains per day decreased their risk by about 20%. Other benefits associated with high fiber intake include decreased risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease, better weight control, and decreased insulin resistance. Fiber is found only in plant foods, and the more animal products people eat, the less fiber they get in their diet. Here's another study that has linked eggs with prostate cancer. Eating eggs is linked to developing prostate cancer, according to a recent National Institutes of Health-funded study. By consuming 2.5 or 2.5 eggs per week, men increase their risk of advanced prostate cancer by 81%, compared with men who average less than half an egg per week. Researchers followed 27,607 men who were part of the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study from 1994 to 2008. For men already who had prostate cancer, eating poultry and processed red meat increased the risk of death. We'll be back with more right after this message.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, I've decided to become a vegetarian, but I don't know much about vegetarian sources of protein. Can you help? Well, congratulations. I think you've made the wise choice in your diet. And personally, I've been a vegetarian for many, many years. I follow a vegetarian diet and believe that a vegetarian diet is the best diet, particularly a healthy vegetarian diet is really the best diet for optimal health and longevity. And actually, studies show that vegetarians have a lower than normal incidence of heart disease and cancer and lower risk of obesity and diabetes. Now, to get some ideas about plant foods that are high in protein, you know, many unprocessed plant foods such as whole grains, legumes, also known as beans, vegetables, seeds, and nuts all provide adequate amounts of protein. And beans and lentils are 20 to 25% protein by weight and are actually staples for many vegetarian and vegan diets. They're also rich in folic acid, magnesium, potassium, B vitamins, complex carbohydrates, and soluble fiber. Now, soy protein, which includes foods such as tofu and tempeh and soybeans and other soy products, are nutritionally equivalent to the protein that you would get in meat, chicken, fish, or eggs. So look to the soy protein sources as a good source and high-quality protein that you can get in a vegetarian diet. Look for ones and try ones that really appeal to you in making your foods and your recipes. Another high-protein food is called seitan. This is a vegetarian meat substitute. It's made from wheat gluten, and this is an excellent source of protein. In fact, it provides 23 grams of protein per one-third cup. And seitan, also known as gluten, is really low in fat and sodium, and you can use it in place of other vegetarian sources of protein, such as tofu or tempeh or other soy products. And you can actually add it to stir-fried vegetables to make a complete meal. And it's really good and actually has somewhat of a meaty texture. So those are some good vegetarian protein sources that you can include in your new vegetarian diet.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl discusses vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our special guest today is Dr. Roger White. Dr. Roger White is a cardiologist, and Dr. White is a graduate of the University of Chicago and has served on the staffs of Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago and Straub Clinic and Hospital in Honolulu, Hawaii. He is an editor for the Asian Annals of Thoracic and Cardiovascular Surgery. He teaches at the University of Hawaii School of Medicine and has a big interest in the area of health, nutrition, and longevity. And he is the author of SOAR, Achieving Your Best Possible Health Through Awareness. Well, welcome, Dr. White.
Hi, John. It's good to be with you again.
And, you know, we're talking to you all the way from the beautiful islands of Hawaii today. How's everything in Hawaii today?
Beautiful day. I'm overlooking Honolulu Harbor right at this point. There's a cruise ship in port and a nice blue ocean and clear skies. So, and I know that this used to be your home. And
yes, it did.
We'd love to have you back here.
And you live there, what, half the year and half the year in Vancouver, something like that?
That's pretty much the schedule that we have now, yeah.
Yes.
I'm retired from clinical practice, so we love Vancouver, British Columbia, and we get the best of the Northwest combined with the best of the Pacific.
Well, I've enjoyed our years that we worked together in Hawaii and teaching people about a healthier lifestyle. We'll talk a little bit about that as we get into our talk today and discussion with you. But you as a physician over the years have become very interested in wellness and lifestyle medicine and prevention. And one of the questions I have for you is, because you talk about this nowadays, is how do you see the doctor less and enjoy your life more?
Well, you know, I think that that's kind of become my mantra. And if you look at the opposite, who wants to see the doctor more and enjoy life less?
I don't think many people do.
But unfortunately, as a society, that's what we're doing more and more. And it isn't that the doctors are necessarily making you ill, but we have a disease-oriented society rather than a wellness-oriented society. And we spend a lot of our health resources on back-ended care rather than front-ended care. And as a cardiologist, my whole career has been taking care of people with heart disease, and I've been involved with treating heart attacks and strokes and coronary bypasses and angioplasty. And that's all very well and good when you need it, but it's back-ended care and very expensive. And that's why my emphasis today is on preventive care, which is better for you and also less expensive. And so If your emphasis is on preventive care, you'll see the doctor less and enjoy life more.
That's right. Now, how many of those procedures, I don't know if you could give me an estimate, are really necessary? Let's say that other cardiologists said, well, here's what you can do with diet and lifestyle. How much is really needed? What percentage of the people are really having these procedures that really don't need them?
It's an interesting question, John, because I think by the time people have advanced heart disease, mm-hmm. most of them end up needing the procedure because it's done in an emergency fashion. However, if you look further back in their history, 75% of heart procedures and heart attacks could be prevented by diet and lifestyle.
Right.
Is cancer also. So basically about 75% of heart disease and cancer is related to our lifestyle, with poor eating habits, poor exercise habits, and environmental exposures. So
yes,
I think on a preventative basis, that most of the people having procedures need them just because their disease is advanced. But and then at that point, they are often interested in changing their lifestyle. But my thrust is trying to change people now before they get to the emergency room.
Right.
And that's the real challenge, is how do you get people's interest when they're not in an emergency?
That's the thing. That's a very important point. Now, you've written this book. It's called SOAR, and it's Achieving Your Best Possible Health Through Awareness. And that's what you're trying to bring, is awareness to people about how to achieve optimal health. And there's an acronym for that word SOAR, S-O-A-R. What does that stand for?
The acronym I thought up because it basically talks about the four components that make up your health. And the S stands for smart medical care. And basically that's what I've done within traditional medicine as a cardiologist, taking care of people with medicines and surgery and diagnostic workups. And having smart medical care is taking advantage of the science that we have available to us today.
Mm-hmm.
O stands for optimal nutrition. And I say eating more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff. And it's obviously having a more plant-based diet, having more whole foods, less of the refined carbohydrates, the saturated fats, the trans fats, and those type of things. Now, interesting, smart medicine and optimal nutrition.
Yes.
You actually have less control over in your life than you think you do, but that's where we put all the emphasis in our health. The next two areas, A and R, and SOAR. A is age-appropriate motion and exercise.
Okay.
And you have a lot more control over this in your life, and it goes beyond the going and working out in an exercise gym. It's your entire lifestyle. It also is translating physical motion into expressive motion and stating who you are as a person. And then R stands for rich relationships and SOAR. And this is kind of the spiritual component. And this is actually the area where you have the greatest control in your life, but we often put the least effort into it. So that when we talk about health, we often get obsessed with what the doctor can do or eating the right diet, but we lose thought of where we have control, which is within our own spiritual life, with our own creativity and what we want to do with our lives. And when I talk about spiritual life, I mean being in contact with your own inner self, those around you, your ancestors, and connection with a greater spirit. And so you can actually measure your spiritual life by the quality of the relationships within your life.
Now, let me ask you, these are great concepts, all four of them, and there's a lot to, I mean, we could do a program on each one of these letters, but tell me how you've used the concept of SOAR to evaluate patients in your own clinical practice.
Well, what I've done is I've separated out the different components into a simple questionnaire where people do a self-evaluation of each component of the smart medical care, the nutrition, the exercise, and the rich relationships. It just takes about 10, 15 minutes to do. And then it gives them an awareness of where their weakest links are.
I see.
Because your health is only as strong as your weakest link. And I also kind of stress the fact that with relationships, building up strong relationships is probably the most important thing insofar as health, because it's not only why we live life, but it's what sustains us through other health crises.
I see. Now, can you elaborate on that SOAR evaluation? Is there a way someone could take that, or are there certain questions that they ask, or do you have a...
It's in the book,
okay.
And I also have just a simple website where the evaluation is available for free for people.
Okay.
And if you go to on Google, just S-O-A-R, Dr. White, my website comes up, and the evaluation is on there. And my interest is just to not make money on this, but to actually get people thinking more about their health so that they take the initiative to improve their health. I think, if anything, the key word to me is doing stuff with intention rather than leading a passive life. That when you choose something to eat, that you actively choose to intentionally eat a plant-based diet and make healthy choices and choose something well. When you decide what you're going to do in life, you intentionally choose how to walk through the park rather than sit in front of the television, and that you intentionally make an effort to improve your relationships each day. And if you don't, you live life passively, and it just goes by, and you not only waste a life, but you put yourself at risk for illness and premature death.
Okay. First of all, the website, before we get on, you mentioned you can Google. Now, I have here soartotalhealthimprovement.com.
That's right.
Okay, so it's S-O-A-R, and then the words totalhealthimprovement.com.
That's correct.
And you can get that website. Let's talk about diet. We talk about nutrition and diet and longevity here. So what do you look at as really the perfect type of diet for someone to achieve optimal health?
There is no perfect diet for everybody, and there is no one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we go through the years, and I've been involved with the Honolulu Heart Study project.
Yes.
Where we've looked at the relationship between Japanese living in Hawaii and Japanese in Japan, and looked at the effects of diet and health over years. And that's where we get different scientific studies to show, studies like the Honolulu Heart Study, to show that having a diet high in cholesterol or animal products increases the risk of heart disease. So that through different studies like this, we generally know that a diet that's lower in fat, and particularly animal fat products, will reduce your risk of heart disease and cancer over life, and also probably help you maintain your weight better. Now, on this, there were many diets advocated, like the Mediterranean diet in particular, which is easy to embrace. That my wife and I were just in Italy for a couple months this fall, and we love the Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's even flaws in this, because the Mediterranean diet stresses a lot of use of olive oil, which is great.
Yes.
It stresses fresh whole fruits and vegetables. It uses fresh seafood and limited amounts and small amounts of alcohol. Now, if you look at the components, it's more of a moderation diet, which I think is good. The trouble that I see with the Mediterranean diet is that people will embrace it and use that diet to excess in different areas, where they will have excessive olive oil, which contributes to calories.
Right.
They'll have excessive carbohydrates, with particularly refined carbohydrates, with bread and pasta, which can put on weight, and if it's refined rather than whole grains. And they'll have, rather than a, you know,
well,
I never,
that diet's probably getting more refined too, because in the ancient days of Greece, they were eating all whole grains too,
absolutely,
and it wasn't refined.
Absolutely. And here again, I don't advocate alcohol as a medicine.
Yeah, I don't either.
But people will see these recommendations that a little bit of alcohol can raise your HDL and is good for you with the different products and so forth.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, they have the French paradox, and we know that, like in wine, you have those wonderful phytochemicals and polyphenols and so forth that may be beneficial for your heart health, and they talk about drinking a lot of wine. However, people forget to realize that alcoholism is a major problem in France.
Right, and you can get the same ingredients in fresh fruit and,
so
forth. And so that I say that even for people who drink alcohol, that they use the Mediterranean diet often as a rationalization to drink excessive amounts of alcohol.
I agree.
And so as much as, you know, a study like the Mediterranean diet can be helpful insofar as promoting health, people no longer live the Mediterranean diet because people in Italy that we saw, they have the same health problems as elsewhere.
Yes.
Heart disease and cancer are the two main leading causes of death there.
Yeah.
And obesity is climbing as soda pop drinks become prevalent and people become more sedentary. That in Hawaii here, I've been involved with an update of the Honolulu Heart Study, and people often talk about the Okinawan diet as being also very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a diet of moderation, and it's very different from the Mediterranean diet. It has more tofu and yams and seafood stuff, but it also has components of beer and everything else. But when we look at the Okinawan diet and compare that, it's no longer in existence because younger Japanese are eating more of a Western diet. And we found in the updated version of the Honolulu Heart Study here in Hawaii, when we looked at with the heart scan and coronary calcifications, that the Japanese in Hawaii are getting heart disease at a rate faster than the generation before them.
That's true.
And it's in part because of increased body mass index. And it's mostly from poor nutrition, from soda pop drinks, refined carbohydrates combined with a sedentary lifestyle. And we're seeing the exact same thing in Okinawa, that the worldwide we're seeing that people are not as healthy as the previous generation, mostly because of increasing body mass index from diseases of excess, diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, and it comes from too much of a good thing. And that's why, even with the Mediterranean diet, I don't endorse excessive olive oil, excessive pasta, excessive bread. Like with the Okinawan diet, I don't endorse excessive rice, which is now more refined rice, and here again, use of many of the things. So there is no one-size-fits-all. And I think that the author Michael Pollan, in his book In Defense of Food, summarized it best in one sentence to say, eat food, not too much, and mostly plants.
That's a great quote.
And,
it really is.
And I would only add to that to eat food with intention, meaning make your choices wise, and to enjoy your food with family and friends and enrich your relationships. So that's the only thing I would add to that recommendation.
I think that's excellent advice. Now, Dr. White, we're coming to the end here, but I want to ask you, in kind of closing here, you look at the different components for optimal health. What do you consider is the most important component for optimal health?
Clearly, rich relationships. And this is, as I say, the most ignored part of health and the one that you need to work on actively each day. And I say relationships. You start off with yourself. You have to work on your own self-worth each day, and this probably comes through interacting and serving others.
Yes.
And also respecting your ancestors. But also, there's no doubt in my mind that people who believe in a higher spirit and God generally have a richer life and a healthier life. So that I know it's not often talked about in medicine these days, but people who have a spiritual discipline, I see all the time being able to weather the storm of physical illness. And so it doesn't happen by itself. It has to happen with intention. So that's my word of today, intention.
Well, Dr. White, thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity. And once again, your book is called SOAR, Achieving Your Best Possible Health Through Awareness. And how does one get a hold of your book?
It's on Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. And we'll make it available through our website also at healthandlongevityradio.com.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, John, and much aloha to you from Hawaii.
Aloha to you.
Dearly.
Okay. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's all for today's program. Until next week, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.